Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
On that, Vern Fiddler joins us on the Midday 180. Vern, good to have you back on, man. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We are excellent. How about the game last night? Being able to bounce back after that performance in Game 3 to get the victory 2-1.
Yeah, that was a great effort. That's exactly what the Preds were looking for. And, you know, they got a lot of great efforts up and down the lineup. And, you know, it started in net with Pex. He made some big saves off the start of the game in the first period, and you know, that was probably their best effort that I've seen them play in all of the playoffs so far.
So you go into a game like that, you're obviously coming off a bad performance. Certainly you're thinking we're due for something to go right, and Pekka makes that save with the accidental save with the knob of his stick, which he says was lucky. In the flow of a game, Or you know, at the next stoppage of play where you see a replay of that up on the scoreboard, how much can that juice a team? How much can you feel like, hey, that's the pivotal moment, or look at the break we got there?
Oh, yeah, you're always looking for, you know, a good break in the playoffs, especially if, you know, when you're on the road and, I mean, that puck was going in net and his stick kind of chucks his stick and it turns over and hits the knob. So, you know, it takes those kind of breaks to win. And, you know, you look back even for us last year when we went to the finals. I mean, we had some good breaks. You looked at one where, you know, it goes off the partition and Tex comes from behind the net and makes that little save. I mean, it could have been a different series if they, you know, keep the series going. So you always try to build off of those little breaks that you get. And, you know, that game, you know, you get down in the game and you're chasing it again. It, you know, the Preds have to play a different way. So, you know, it kept them being able to just stay with the game, and then, you know, they get the lead, and, you know, you're playing a lot different game when you're playing with the lead opposed to chasing the game. So, you know, you could look back at this that save with the knob, and you know, it could definitely put them in a situation to win the series.
Vern Fiddler, our guest here on the Midday 180. Vern, you played in roughly half of the game's last postseason, sometimes a healthy scratch based on matchups. You have been Scott Hartnell, having to sit and wait your turn. How challenging is that for a vet to sit and watch during a series?
Yeah, it's really tough. You know, it's just on the fact that the more you play, the more comfortable you feel. When you're not in the lineup every night and you've taken 5 or 6 nights off, your legs and your lungs just aren't there. And, I mean, you saw it a few times in Hartsey's shifts. You know, he was trying to keep his short shifts, but, you know, your legs just aren't there. It's when you start playing in more games on a regular basis, you really start to, you know, feel comfortable. But it's definitely a challenge going in when you haven't played. You know, he hasn't played in a couple weeks. So, you know, I thought he did a great job. He was physical. He went after Bufflin. You know, they needed a little more grit in the lineup. And, you know, I know it was a huge question.
Sniped.
Looks like we lost.
We'll check back in with Vern Fiddler.
It's funny. It seems like a decent percentage of our phone misses lately have gone like that.
Which immediately happened with McClain.
It's actually better if it's going to go bad that it go bad like that instead of us having to be like, oh, it's fading. We need to find a way to interrupt.
We're getting back on. I'm going to follow up with a question about getting back into game shape when you're sitting there and watching game speed.
I'm glad you brought this up, Hutton, because this is the perfect guy to have this discussion with about the impact of Scott Hartnell, but not just that, the impact of not playing a lot and what that has on a player when you're suddenly injected into a playoff series like this one.
Vern Fiddler back with us. Vern, you got sniped, man.
I don't know what's going on, Verizon. Might have to switch carriers.
Hey, you mentioned for Hartnell to just jump back in. It took a while to get his legs back. I did think, though, there was a freshness about him. There was a little jump to his game as well.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you're stepping back into into an atmosphere and back into the lineup. You know, your juices are going, and you know, it's not an easy thing to do, watch for a couple weeks and then step into a, you know, a playoff game like that, especially in Winnipeg. The, you know, your, the fans are right on top of you. But I thought Hartsey did a really good job. He was bumping, buffling around, and he made, you know, that one shot down on the left side on the 2-on-1. I mean, he just missed it by inches. So, you know, I thought he was, his presence was there, and he was a great spark plug for the team.
When you're inserted into a lineup, how long does it actually take to get back into full game speed?
Oh yeah, it's not easy. I mean, that was really the first time in my whole career where I was in and out of a lineup, and it was probably the most challenging thing I've done my whole career, just because, you know, there's a switch that you just got to put on, and you know, you got to be ready to go. And when you've missed a couple weeks of games, you're just practicing with the guys. It's not the same as when you're in those games. So you know, you really got to be prepared. It looked like he was really moving his feet, and he was hustling. His shifts were short, but he was going hard for the whole shift. He was getting to the net. You know, he had that scoring chance on the 2-on-1 that he just missed. So, you know, he set up Turris in the slot, and there was a, you know, a great scoring chance from that. I mean, he was all over the ice, and it was good to see him back out there, a veteran guy that he's a really good friend of mine, so I was happy to watch him play.
Well, and Vern, when you add in all those factors you mentioned, now add to that that he's 36 years old and not 26 years old and trying to get the body to get going again, how much more difficult does it make it because you were in the same spot again last year?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're, like I said, there's just, it's hard to just flip that switch on and off, because on games when you're not playing, you know, you're getting your skates and workouts in, but it's different when you're out on the ice and you're competing. And, you know, the game's so fast now that, you know, I learned in the last couple of years that these kids are just getting faster and faster and more skilled and skilled. So, you know, you really got to just kind of keep your shift short and, you know, try to be effective when you're out there and keep your shifts to around 30 to 35 seconds at the most. Because if you do get caught out there for a 40, 50-second shift, it wears on you, and, you know, you don't feel your lungs fill up, and, you know, your legs get heavy, and then, you know, you probably find yourself sitting on the bench.
You know, Scott Hartnell clearly has some leadership qualities, and it worked last night when they put him in. But I was thinking about this throughout the game, and when Peter Laviolette made the decision to go with Scott Hartnell, how much can you change the style and the system that you want to run and how you want to play when you make one swap for a second line forward in a game? Because it worked last night to the tune of a 2-1 win with a bunch of games that have been shootouts so far. But how much can that one change make a difference with a team and the entire system?
You know what? It makes a huge change, and it doesn't even make it. It makes a change before you even step out on the ice, because when you're in the dressing room, you're looking at the opposing lineup, like who's in the lineup. And when they see Scott Hartnell on the second line left wing, they're like, okay, well, we're going to get hit every time he's on the ice. And, you know, I'm not saying that Kevin Fiala is not a big guy that's going to go after, you know, and be physical, but there's a huge difference there. You know, there are already mindsets like, okay, well, we're going to get hit a little bit more from that left side. You know, it just sends a message across to that other room that, okay, well, they're changing. You know, that's the luxury that David Poile's always put in front of Laviolette, where he has a little bit of different lineup inserts that he can change the lineup. And just by putting Scott Hartnell on that second line left wing, they knew that they were going to be a little more, the Preds were going to be a little more physical up front, and, you know, probably going to be laying the body a little bit more on that second line. And that second line with Smith and Turris has a little bit struggled with Fiala on it. So, you know, I think Hartnell brought a little more of the lunch pail, you know, quality to him, and, you know, they kind of went to work a little bit more. And I actually thought the line played a lot better than they have in the first series and in the first three games of this series.
Vern, will you take us behind the scenes a bit with being a nuisance on the ice, being a pest? Is there an art to just being just enough of a pest to get under someone's skin?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it just takes the focus off of what the guy's supposed to be doing. If you're, you know, you hit him just a second late, you know, he's going to the bench and he's pissed because he's looking across. He's like, oh, I'm going to go after that guy next shift. I'm out there against him. And, you know, you maybe take his mind off of trying to make a play. Instead, he's coming after you to try to lay a body and get a lick back on you. So, you know, those agitators are so important in the playoffs because, you know, hockey players got short tempers. And, you know, it could just change the outcome in a game so easy because you could find yourself on a power play, and, you know, that power play could win you the game. So, you know, these little pests, they're all over the league, and, you know, I think they're really important in the playoffs, and, you know, Scott Hartnell fits that role really well. He's always in front of the net. He's digging at pucks when the goalie's got it under his glove, and those are the kind of things that, you know, at the end of the series, guys get sick of and they start taking liberties on you, and hopefully you find yourself on the power play.
Former Pred Vern Fiddler with us twice a week during the playoffs.
After Peck got frustrated at the end of Game 3 and wailed on an opponent with that big slash, it seemed clear last night that the Jets wanted to try to get under his skin and see if they couldn't rattle him in some way, shape, or form again. What did you think of their approach to that, and how clear was it that he wasn't going for it?
Yeah, you could really notice that, you know, Cobb in front of the net, he was, you know, he kind of pushed Peck back into his post, and, you know, he went around him through his crease, which, you know, I thought the ref probably could have done something about, but, you know, they're trying to get to Peck. Peck is a world-class goalie that you can't just let Peck go in there and make saves. You got to crash Peck. You got to try to get under his skin because, you know, he's a pretty calm, cool, collective guy that, you know, If you're going to let him make saves and not worry about traffic, he's going to make those saves. So, you know, it's probably even going to get worse throughout this series. Now going into Game 5, they're going to try to stay on Peck and drive him into the back of his net and poke him every time they get him because they saw him get frustrated in game 3. They thought maybe they could find a way to get under his skin a little bit. So I would anticipate a lot more of that moving forward with Peck.
Vern, you were a trade addition in January, similar to Hartman with this roster. What is the feeling like walking into a new room mid-season? What's the approach?
Oh, yeah, that was the first time I had ever been traded. And coming in, you know, obviously I'd played there a bunch before. But, you know, you just try to come in the room and play your game. And, you just try not to, you know, just try to be yourself and earn the guy's respect on the ice. And you know, he's a young kid, so I'm sure that, you know, not a whole bunch was being said as he just tried to go out and work hard on the ice, but you're trying to earn the coach's respect, you're trying to, you know, figure out the system, so it's not an easy adjustment, even for a guy like me that had been around forever. Going in the dressing room, you're still trying to play the system you were a week before, and, you know, hopefully he's starting to get a little more comfortable, but, you know, it's not an easy transition, especially for a young guy coming in like that. There's going to be a little bit of trial there where, you know, you're still trying to figure out what guys are doing and who does this and who does that and what the coach likes and what he doesn't like. So, you know, and then he found himself out of the lineup. So, you know, you're starting to play mind games with yourself and wondering if, you know, maybe he doesn't like you or this or that. So, you know, I think he's been a pretty good addition, and hopefully he can settle into that role and keep scoring goals in the playoffs like he did last night.
The next 4 days will include a ton of travel. From your perspective, can you speak to the additional challenges of this tight window now where games 5, 6, and potentially 7 will be played? And how does Nashville use their playoff experience to their advantage now in the tight window of traveling?
Well, yeah, you know, it's a grind. I mean, last year flying back and forth to Anaheim and, you know, thankfully we didn't have too much. We stayed in the Midwest with Chicago and St. Louis, but this, you know, going across the border and, you know, going into Canada, a little bit of, you know, a little more travel, I mean, it'll wear on you. So, you know, you just got to, you know, try to get as much rest as you can and stay loose because, you know, flying on the plane, believe it or not, even though you're on a private plane and charter, you sit there and play cards for 4 hours, you stiffen up and, you know, you start to feel it when you get home at about 8 or 9 o'clock and you're thinking that you're actually 70 years old instead of 30 or 26 or whatever you're at. But, you know, you really got to take care of yourself, lots of stretching, lots of water, and, you know, you got to be ready now that it could go back and forth for the next three games. You know, you got to almost prepare like it's going to go to 7 so that your body can handle it if you need be.
And now you're also at the mercy of the TV schedule with these 8:30, you know, really 8:40 start times. You're waiting on the puck to drop. I know players love afternoon games because you can wake up, you can grab breakfast, you go to the rink, and you're ready to go. What is the wait like for late starts?
Well, you know what? It actually, when you get the late start, it actually, in the playoffs, it does give you a little bit more time to recover and, you know, get a little bit longer nap in the afternoon. Those day games, you know, when you're traveling like that, you don't want that. You don't want to have to jump right back into a game. You want to be able to, you know, get your rest and your treatments and, you know, do all your game ritual. So I like later games in the playoffs. I know it throws you off a little bit as far as eating and, you know, your morning skate and media and stuff like that. But, you know, I think the Preds could tip to their advantage, get a little more rest, and, you know, you can get home and instead of sleeping an hour, you can sleep, you know, a couple hours. So I actually like the later games a little bit better, you know, when you're traveling, just because, you know, it's a pretty quick turnaround with an afternoon game. So if I had any advice for the Preds, I would, you know, take advantage of the rest and, you know, be ready to go when that 8:30 puck drop hits.
Totally random question that may only interest me, but I hope not. Nap time, is it better home or away? When you have a little bit more of a drive to get home to go take a nap, or you're walking across the street to a hotel on the road to take a nap, what's better?
Well, that's a tough question. I like my sleep, but, I mean, you know how it is to sleep in your own bed. It's just nice to be at home. You know, you guys have their certain type of beds that you have that, you know, you're used to. In hotels, you know, every once in a while you'd have your Do Not Disturb sign up and some maid knocks on your door. Who knows if it's a coincidence or not, but, you know, if they want to get in there and clean the room, you're 30 minutes into your nap and then all of a sudden you can't sleep anymore. So at home, you know, that ain't happening. Usually, you know, everybody's families and anyone who's visiting, you know, gets out of the house for a couple hours. So, you know that, you know, you're going to get that 2 hours for sure. I always preferred sleeping at home opposed to the road just because it sometimes stuff happens where, you know, I've been in hotels where the fire alarm's gone off halfway through my pregame nap. And, of course, I had the worst game of my life. So, you know, you're pretty pissed about it. But I would prefer myself at home. So hopefully the Preds can have a good pregame nap tomorrow and get after it.
Vern Fiddler, our guest. Did you see the video making the way around social media last night with the Predators pregame kicking around the soccer ball and shattering that light in the hallway?
Yeah, I did actually see that.
Have you ever destroyed something in a visiting locker room on accident?
Oh, about probably 100 times over my career. We set off the fire sprinklers a few times in my day. So, you know, the lights come down. We've broken lights, broken TVs. I mean, those soccer games get pretty intense. And believe it or not, like that's a lot of most guys warm up. So you're going hard, and it's just like on the ice, you're competitive, you want to win the game, so it doesn't surprise me that that's still happening.
Who's the single best juggler soccer guy you've ever had the pleasure of losing to in those games?
Timo Tiiminen. This guy he could play in the European Division I. This guy was the best soccer player I ever played with, and he'd always come after me, and then you remember his giggle, his laugh, he'd laugh at me. I still have dreams about that kid kicking the ball at me, and I'm getting mad, and he's laughing at me. So he was by far the best two-touch soccer player I ever played with in my whole career.
That's awesome.
Vern, you mentioning warm-ups made me think of this. They had Hartnell lead the stretch during morning skate yesterday. What does that signify for fans that may not be familiar with that?
Well, it's always, you know, the middle guy is easier. You know, you're in your hometown. They put you in the middle. Like, whenever I went to Edmonton, the stretch, you know, you always led the stretch. Or if it's your birthday, they put you in the middle. But it's just what it means is they put Scott in the middle because they knew he was going into the lineup. And, you know, he's an older veteran guy that, you know, everybody just loves Scott Hartnell. And, you know, it brings that little bit of energy to the morning skate. And, you know, the guys are pumped that a veteran guy that hasn't been playing every game is getting his chance to get in the playoffs and make a difference. And, you know, it takes everybody. It's not just 20 guys or just PK Subban or, you know, the superstars that do this. It takes 25, 26 guys to, you know, like we saw last year, like Gaudreau coming in or myself going in and scoring a goal. Like, it takes every single one of these guys, maybe some guys from the minors to win the cup. And this just goes to show how much the team respects Scott Hartnell and how much they want him to be in the lineup and make a difference. And, you know, it's no different. There'll be other guys that come in and, you know, they're excited that they're back in the lineup. They'll put him in the middle. But it just goes to show that, you know, they were excited to get Scott Hartnell back in the lineup and see what he could do to help the Preds win.
So, Vern, going back to Game 3, the play where Pekka's strap comes loose, they don't whistle the play dead, even though he's looking at the official, showing him that his strap was loose. We got the fans' perspective on it. We got Carey Frazier, a former official's perspective on it. We had Chris Mason, a former goalie, his perspective on it. A lot of different ways to look at this. You are a former player who would possibly be in a position to score that goal that Winnipeg scored to go ahead and win that game. Did they do the right thing by not blowing the play dead, or should they have stopped it?
No, I think they should have stopped it. But you know, most goalies would have just thrown their mask off and then they have to blow it, right? But Pex is just a competitor. He's not looking for any excuses to not make a save. That just goes on Pex's character. Like, I mean, any other goalie would shake their helmet off or whatever, but, you know, Pex is like, this strap's not going to, you know, affect whether I make this save or not. So, personally, I think it should have been blown down just because, I mean, it's an equipment malfunction. If something was to ever happen that, you know, your helmet comes off and you get, you know, you go to make a big save and he gets hit in the face of the puck and, you know, ends his career with a, you know, broken jaw or a broken cheekbone or concussion or something like that, you know, that would have also been a bad scenario. So, you know, you got to be careful. The player safety comes first, and if it was me, in my opinion, I think that should have been blown dead, and any player on the ice should understand that, because the safety of the players is my first concern, and it should be the league's first concern.
Vern, do you feel like the small adjustments last night caught Winnipeg off guard a tad in that first period, you know, limiting Winnipeg from entering the zone with speed? They were standing them up more at the blue line. What adjustments do you expect from Winnipeg now as we go into Game 5 based on what we saw from Game 4 in Nashville?
Well, yeah, they got such a good transitional team that skates well. Like, they got a lot of scoring that, you know, they like to make plays off the rush. And, you know, you could tell that Preds really came to play defense, and I'm sure Labby went over that after Game 3, that they had to tighten it up, which they really did. I mean, the 3-0 lead, and then you're going to turn pucks over, and, you know, they kind of look like they maybe wanted an easy, fancy game, which that's not the way it goes, but, you know, you'll probably see a little more simple game out of the Jets. They'll probably come in and try to get more pucks down below and work on the defense. You know, they got to figure out, you know, be more disciplined and, you know, not let the Preds get on the power play, because their power play's rolling pretty good, but you'll probably see them be a little bit more disciplined, and they'll probably try to get more zone time. They didn't have a whole bunch of zone time, which, you know, you can't score if you're not in the zone. So those are probably two adjustments I would probably bet money on that they'll make adjustments to.
Certainly would have liked to have gotten the shutout. Is the biggest thing about that last goal maybe that it could serve as some kind of springboard for Laine?
Yeah, you know, you could tell he was frustrated. They show on TV a few times that he's switching sticks. So, you know, those goal scorers, they get, you know, mentally beating up on themselves when they're not scoring every game. And, you know, you don't like to see the last guy you wanted to see score on that goal was Liney. And, I mean, you hope it doesn't springboard him, but, you know, he's going to have a little bit of hop in his step. So, you know, they'll definitely have to key in a guy like that. The last thing you want is to start letting him feel comfortable on the ice shooting the puck. So, you know, hopefully they can stay on him and keep doing what they were doing with him.
So 4 games in this series, tied at 2. We've seen a little bit of everything. 4-1, 5-4, 7-4, 2-1. Different types of games now. Through 4 games and what we've seen, is there any doubt that this is not a 7-game war between these two teams from what you've seen?
No, I mean, it's been a hell of a series. I mean, you know, as a player, you know, when you're watching the playoffs in the past, when you're still playing, you're not as engaged. But now that I'm just a fan and, you know, watching all my buddies play, it's just been a heck of a series. Like, it's just two teams that are really well coached, that both have great defensive intangibles, but also offense intangibles that, you know, are kind of like, you know, they just do the unexpected. So, you know, I can't see this series not going 7 games. And, I'm pretty sure I'm thinking whoever wins Game 5 is going to win the series, just because, you know, I think the teams are going to start to feel a little bit tired and worn down. And but I just can't see it not going to seven. I think it's going to seven 100%.
Vern, thank you for the insight, man. Let's catch up on Monday.
Awesome, guys. Thanks a lot. Talk soon.
Okay, man. Vern Fiddler, our guest, twice a week during the postseason here on the Midday 180.
Comes down to game seven. I mean, I think everybody's expecting that at this stage. And oh, the stakes.
I can't wait for these final two, maybe three games. We've expected a seven-game bloodbath throughout this postseason against Winnipeg. This is the series that we anticipated all season.
Nashville has never hosted a game seven. It would be a first.
I agree with our earlier caller who talked about it being more boring for them to play the way they played last night. But I agree it's more boring than the wide open games that we saw. But I thought there was still plenty of tension and intrigue.
I don't think it's boring.
No.
I think there were so many chances that you thought they were scoring on, and Pekka made a great save or someone
maybe
slid
boring,
in front of the
strong,
net.
Less exciting than some of the others.
Scott Burnside will join us at 1 o'clock. When we come back, there's a new man on top of the mountain for highest paid in the NFL. His name's Matt Ryan. And for the top paid quarterbacks in the league, there is a common thread with all of them. There's a person you want touching the quarterback for him to get the blessing to go get the big money. We'll explain. That's next. Mother's Day, a week from Sunday. This year, give Mom Sherry's Berries. Mom, your grandmother, your wife, a gift from the kids to Mom. Mom will love it. I swear, I order Sherry's Berries every year. Right now, our listeners receive fresh, delicious Sherry's Berries, starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling for this week only. When you double the berries for Mom for just $10 more, your gift will include something extra. Sherry's popular dipped caramel pretzel rods. Your berries will arrive in Sherry's Berries signature gift box with a beautiful ribbon. No gift wrap required. I love that. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in my code Hutton. The giant strawberries. They're dipped in white, milk, or dark chocolate. You pick, and your mom will love them. You can top the strawberries in chocolate and then top them with chocolate chips, decorative swizzle, nuts. It's a great gift idea for your mother, mother-in-law, mother of your children, mother-to-be, mother in your life. She will love Sherry's Berries. There's only one way to get this amazing deal for Mom. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. When you double the berries this week for just $10 more, your gift will include an extra decadent gift of dipped caramel pretzels. Mother's Day is May 13th, so visit berries.com today. berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in my code Hutton. That's berries.com, code Hutton.